the shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Deke shoots. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean, Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, and good morning, everyone. For those of you that heard me on NBC last night, you know that I'm going through a little bit of laryngitis, so today's show is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to give you some post-game sound, and we are going to get into an interview that I did yesterday with Curtis Pashelka. But yeah, the bare bones of it is that the Sharks lost to Chicago last night, 4-2, fell behind 3-0 early. They had some nice pushback. They didn't let the game get away from them, which is a nice change compared to probably what would have happened a year ago when it would have turned into a much uglier game. But when it comes down to it, the Sharks just aren't the same team without Macklin Celebrini, which is an incredible thing to say considering he was, you know, one game, 18 years old, but the offense looked considerably better. And right now the Sharks need to find a way to bounce back against Winnipeg to have a considerably better performance. So let's get into some of that post-game reaction. This is what head coach Ryan Warsowski had to say after the loss.
Yeah, we didn't do anything well. You know, got off to a slow start. Hasn't been us. Couldn't defend in our own end. Couldn't close quick enough. Couldn't get the forecheck going. Didn't do anything well.
What kind of... why the slow start? Is there something that happens, or you know, anything that you can kind of trace to?
We'll go back and look at all decisions we've made today and find out why these types of things are going to happen. We got to move forward, but yeah, it's unacceptable.
Obviously, they came out with a lot of jump being in their home opener. Is that something that both teams ought to be able to feed on?
We knew they were going to be, you know, excited to play in their home opener, and they made a lot of new additions this offseason. So we had a good feel that they were going to come out energized, coming off a pretty decent road trip. I can't really speak to what their preparation was, but I know ours was not good enough.
Was it too many penalties tonight?
Yeah, too many penalties. You can't kill seven. 2 5-on-3s. It's seven. Seven penalties we've got to kill. Kills the momentum of the hockey game. It's too many.
I know you want to be aggressive, but what kind of penalties do you need to kind of eliminate for tomorrow?
Just all the stick penalties, the trips, the high sticks, the reckless stick penalties. Obviously, again, another good power play tomorrow. So, again, got to learn from it and move forward.
The penalty kill, the two goals given up were kind of similar in a way, just quick plays and front deflections. What happened there?
Yeah, we don't get it clear in one of them. And then they obviously make a really good play in the second one, find the seam, and we knew that was kind of coming. We missed it on the seam, and really good players make really good plays, and that's what obviously Bedard did. And then and I think the first one, we just lose coverage there a little bit, but we have a chance to clear a puck, and we don't clear it.
How did Eklund look to you tonight after being a game-time decision?
Yeah, he was good. I thought he did some good things offensively. It's still another level he needs to get to.
Jason Dickinson, that goal was a bit of a backbreaker. What happened there?
Yeah, that was a tough goal to give up, right? You know, I thought we had a good push there going. We have a one-man forecheck. We don't break out the puck. It's something that we've really worked on all training camp. There's a specific drill that we do that usually eliminates that, type of forecheck where it's easy for us to break out a puck, and we don't even do anything close to what we want to do. So something we've got to learn from.
In the third period, you kind of switched up Costin and DeLandria. What was sort of thinking behind that?
Just got to get something going, try to get some offense going, mix it up here a little bit, and we'll continue to look at it and try to create a little bit more offense.
And you mentioned Eklund. What can you just say about the gutty performance, still be his game time decision that he was playing hurt?
Yeah, he's grown a lot as a person, and playing in this league is got to have some toughness, and I've got to give him credit. He toughened it up tonight, wanted to play, and did a good job.
What did you think of Will Smith tonight?
That was his best game he's played. Looked more comfortable, was more engaged, was skating more, playing with the puck more. I think it was definitely a step in the right direction.
And what do you guys have to do tomorrow to get that W, and should we expect lineup changes?
I think we'll expect some changes, and we'll worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow we've got to review this game tonight here and get meet in the morning and come up with a game plan, but we got to do everything better tomorrow, that's for sure.
The audio courtesy NBC, and yes, they do need to do a lot better in this upcoming game and just essentially not be slow out of the gate and really just be that much more committed to defense, not letting space be created in the neutral zone that allows a play like Taylor Hall's goal to where you just kind of saw it coming. Vitek Vanacek probably wants that one back, but it was a team goal that they gave up the other goals that Vitek was scored upon, I don't really put on him. Let's hear what William Eklund had to say after last night's loss.
You know, to be compete with the guys out there and, you know, trying to win the game.
For yourself, how do you think that you were, you know, were you playing at 100%? It looked like you had a pretty strong game.
Yeah, you know, I'm not 100%, that's for sure. But, you know, I'll be there and I'm trying to, you know, make plays out there and trying to get goals out there.
Mikhail said that it was you guys were playing a little bit slow to begin. Do you agree with that? And you know, is that kind of responsible for the team's slow start tonight?
Yeah, you know, we got to do way better job from the beginning. I feel like we gave them too much in the first period. You know, our line was playing a little too slow, and then we kind of got going there a little bit. So, you know, we got to keep going from there.
Is there some positives to take out in the fact that you didn't fold and you did come back and make a game of it?
I don't know, to be honest. You know, you just can't give away that easy plays, and those penalty minutes are killing us.
What can you say about Tyler Toffoli? You've been playing with him for a little while here, and just he always seems to be able to get open there, just like on his goal there.
Yeah, you know, he's been in this league a long time. He knows where to find those opportunities. So I'm just trying to feed him there, and, you know, this time it worked.
Is it a frustrating another kind of slow start to the season for you guys?
This is more frustrating, I think, because we're playing way better this year. And, you just got to keep playing the way we did in the three first games and a little bit of this game and, take it from there.
So it feels like if you guys, you know, play good, best hockey, like you guys are playing a lot, that you're going to break through here.
I think so. You know, we got to believe in it. I think we had a lot of guys in there who everybody want to win, everybody want to compete out there. And, you know, we just got to play our game and get that.
And what do you guys have to do on the ice tomorrow to get that W?
You know, you got to go out there from the start, be ready. They're going to be jumping right away. So, we need to go out there, be ready, and have a good game.
Yeah, his point of being ready when the game starts, I think that is a point of emphasis that they need to worry about going into this game at Winnipeg. Obviously, it was an emotionally charged atmosphere in Chicago last night with their home opener, but Winnipeg is going to do everything they can to jump the Sharks because they know they're on the second night of a back-to-back. The legs will be tired. They're going to be looking to get the Sharks on their back foot right away. Let's hear what Mikhail Granlund had to say.
I didn't think the whole night that wasn't the way we can play. We can do way better. Obviously, the start was really slow for us. It did a little bit better as the game went on, but at the same time, that's not enough.
What was behind the slow start?
We were playing too slow with the puck, skating-wise. It's tough to play. Then you're just chasing the game the whole. We were chasing the game the whole period, so we got to be better at that, and that cost us a game tonight.
What can you say about the penalties? Were there too many, or is that just you guys trying to be aggressive and that happens sometimes?
Well, for sure, there's too many. There's twice 5-on-3, so that's not what you want. But obviously, we killed those. But we got to be better with penalties, and obviously try to get the third place than the penalty kill.
Tough environment to play in tonight with the crowd all jacked up, their home opener and everything.
Yeah, we knew that. I mean, these are the great best games, you know, having that crowd and this atmosphere. Everybody loves to play these games, so, just be pumped up about them.
What can you say about the power play goals you guys gave up today? What happened?
Pelagiel has been good these first games here, and obviously they got two tonight. We don't really want to let those, obviously. We can do a better job, but at the same time, we killed some 5-on-3s. But obviously, we would like to take those back.
What can you say about William Eklund's performance tonight? You know, he's dealing with a bit of an injury. So what can you say about his gutsy effort tonight?
It's gutsy. He's a player. He's a competitor. So I respect that. Hats off. He played a good game and obviously in a tough situation. So I'm glad, and obviously he helped the team again. So he's a great player.
I'm sure you weren't surprised to see him play today.
What's that?
I'm sure you weren't surprised to see him play today.
No, he's playing great. So it was good to see him do good.
And what do you guys have to do for tomorrow to get that first W?
We got to play faster. We got to be better better with the puck. We do hotter plays out there. But, you know, it's pretty much the basic things. We got to get a better start. And obviously try to stay out of the penalty box. That will help us enormously as well.
Mikael Granlund quietly had a good night for the San Jose Sharks in the loss. But, yeah, they're going to need to bounce back quickly in this game against Winnipeg. From here, I wanted to play my interview that I did yesterday with Curtis Pashelka, just talking about what we've seen from the Sharks up to this point. But I have to ask you, how telling and or damning is it that the Sharks have only scored 2 goals without Macklin Celebrini in the lineup, whereas with him, they scored 4?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's a major part of missing a guy like him, a guy who's so, even at this young age and even just making one game into his NHL career, he's such a driver of that team's offense, and you could just see it firsthand last Thursday in his NHL debut what he could potentially mean to this team. And so, right now it's an adjustment for the Sharks. I mean, even though they made some additions in the offseason, there's still going to be searching for guys to put the puck in the net. And it's a little frustrating, I'm sure, for those guys that they haven't been able to click a little bit more, both at even strength and on the power play so far. So something to keep an eye on tonight as they try to move forward here and get that first win of the season.
I mean, my impression during the preseason was that they were going to have trouble scoring. Was that kind of the impression that you got?
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be, I always thought it was going to be a little bit better, obviously, from last year, but you're right. It was still going to be kind of an issue. I mean, once you get past, the first maybe couple of lines, it's a bit of a question mark. It's a deep bottom six, but it's not necessarily a high scoring bottom six. You don't know what kind of offense plus you're going to get. Plus, there's always a question on the blue line, how much offense can you get from that group of players, although I think they have high hopes for Jake Walman this year and his ability to score. So it is a bit of a question mark. And when you take a big player out of that mix, it becomes even more so. So it's something the Sharks are just going to have to adjust to and see if they can kind of create some more offense here as they finish the trip and look forward to next week as well.
We look back at that game one and they were not able to hold on against St. Louis, who I think, even though they did not make the playoffs last year, they were, I think, a 43 or 45 win team a year ago and probably better than their record would indicate. And I think they have higher hopes this year. But beyond that, the defense has actually been pretty decent. They've only given up 2 goals in back-to-back games. Both Vanecek and Blackwood have been pretty solid. And other than the third period against St. Louis, I thought that Blackwood was pretty good in that game. I think, like many goalies, he got chopped down. I mean, there's only so many blows you can take before you're finally going to get the breakthrough, and that pretty much happened in that first game. But, you know, on that other side, looking at the net minding, looking at the defense, what are your impressions through 3 games?
Well, I mean, you have to be impressed with the goaltending so far. You're right. I mean, it's a lot of shots to face. And I thought the Sharks, though, have done a better job so far, maybe cutting down on the grade A chances. I mean, I think you still see some of that here and there, throughout the first few games of the season. You know, Blackwood makes a huge stop on a breakaway by getting Dadonov on Tuesday night there. That salvaged, helped the Sharks salvage at least a point out of that game, get it into overtime. So you have to be impressed with the way Blackwood and Vanecek have played thus far. On the defensive side, I think it's still a little bit of a work in progress. These guys are still getting to know each other a little bit on the back end, but, you know, it seems clear at this point that, you know, guys like Walman and CeCe are sort of your top pair at this point, with Ruta and Ferraro kind of at that second level. And then, Thrun and Benning, as that third pair. I don't mind those pairs so much. I think it's just a matter of sort of finding some cohesiveness back there, getting used to the new way of doing things under Ryan Warsawski, the new system he wants to play, and then, you know, also getting some help from your forward group as well in that sense. So still a bit of a work in progress for this team. I think we all knew that, but, you know, I think the further they go along here, the more they can kind of gel. And, you know, I know practice time is a bit limited for this team right now, but, you know, I think if they're confident that the more time they get to spend each other, that it'll start to come along here. But we'll see. A lot of tough tests coming up for this team, for sure.
I think the interesting difference that I've noticed is the way they've spoken in the post game. Nico Sturm, if you'll recall, 2 years ago, spoke out after they lost their fifth straight to start to the year, and everyone kind of said, oh, wow, look at Nico. We didn't know that this was part of his game, the leadership quality, and he did it a couple times last year. But when he spoke after the second loss of the year, falling to Anaheim, he specifically used the word positive, and I thought that was an interesting comparison or juxtaposition versus a year ago, when it was almost a sense of despondency when we would hear them speak after games, especially tough losses.
Yeah, it's a different mood, you know, around the Sharks this year. It's not like last couple of seasons. You know, I think the group kind of almost felt that they almost had to play a perfect game, you know, to win at times. And that's kind of how it felt, at least from the outside. But, you know, this year, things just a little bit, they're a little cleaner in their own zone, breaking out the puck. I know that's something that they focused on here earlier in the season, trying to get some clean breakouts, being a little bit more aggressive on the forecheck, trying to create turnovers, pressure the puck. And they have the personnel, more of the personnel to try to do that this year, whereas I think last year it was, you know, very haphazard in the way they tried to play their game. So it is an improvement overall for, you know, just staying more competitive in these games. The three losses are by, you know, a combined four goals so far. You got a couple of points out of the mix. So, you know, this is a team that's still finding its way a little bit, but you have to be encouraged at least that this is going to be a more competitive team, a harder team to play against, something I think that those guys have talked about, you know, basically since the start of training camp, or really even since the summer, just wanting to be a hard team to play against. And early signs are that they'll be that, as long as they can, you know, sort of stay to that identity and stay healthy too. This team can't afford too many more injuries. So as long as they can do that, I think they'll be a harder team to play against for most of the season, I think.
I've been curious to see people talking about Will Smith, quote unquote, struggling, whereas I've kind of thought to myself, he's played three games in the NHL. He's 19 years old. And I know that that's put against what we saw from Macklin in one game, but are you looking at it as a struggle, or is this simply the learning curve of figuring out how to play in the National Hockey League?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that he's come up way short of expectations or anything like that. I mean, like you said, this is a 19-year-old guy playing his first professional season. To put him in a spot, I think to put him though in a spot where he's a second line center right off the hop, that's going to be a tough task for anybody. You remember last year when William Eklund was asked to play as a second line center for a spell after, you know, Tomas Hertl was traded, and with Logan Couture still out of the lineup, they put William Eklund in that spot, and it was a struggle for him. And he was, you know, two, three years older than what Will Smith is right now. And so it's a lot to ask for a young guy. Like for tonight's game, they have Will as a third line center, maybe take a little bit off his plates, and you're playing with a couple responsible players in Barkley Goodrow and Luke Cunning tonight. So we'll see how that works for him. I think it's important for him to touch the puck and to feel the puck a little bit, get some more confidence with it. And, I guess NHL competition, and sort of get some confidence going from that standpoint. But it's been a struggle. I think we all understand that. We understood that coming in, that there wasn't going to be a guy who's going to come in and light the league up right away. Even though he had tremendous success as a freshman at BC last year, it was going to be a bit of a struggle for him. So it would be interesting to see, you know, if the Sharks stay patient with him and want to help him develop at this level. We'll see. You know, if he continues to struggle, then the Sharks have a question to sort of answer there. But I think for right now, it's pretty much what the Sharks expected, and it's just a matter of giving him some confidence and telling him to just kind of be himself out there too.
I mean, I remember back when I was 15 years old and Patrick Marleau was only a couple years older than me, and he was entering the league and he didn't get started with a bang either. And a lot of people wondered, but I think the difference there was that Patrick Marleau had a man's body. And that's not to say that Will Smith is not a quote unquote man, but he is not of the same physical capacity at the same age that Patrick Marleau was. I mean, Marleau was a rare specimen. And when he was drafted, he already looked like he was in his mid-20s and had the body to go with it. Even though Will Smith is bigger than he was a year ago, that's just not where he is yet.
No. And that was a question some Sharks fans had last year when you look at, you know, who is drafted ahead of him in 2023, those top three spots, all those guys, you know, went to pro right away, went to the NHL right away. When you're talking about Bedard, Adam Fantilli, and Leo Carlson, and Sharks fans were wondering, well, why isn't our guy in the league right now? And Mike Greer was very frank in saying, listen, Neil, he's not really, can you handle the physical rigors of playing in the NHL as an 18-year-old? And I think the Sharks felt another year of school, help him mature physically, was going to do wonders for him. And I think, you know, Will has added, you know, what, 5 to 10 pounds of muscle in the last year. And that's certainly helped him sort of deal with the level he's at right now. And yeah, Patrick Marleau was a specimen, like you said. He was, you know, 17, 18 years old, and he was already 6'2 and over 200 pounds and, you know, could fit into an NHL role right away, even though, like you said, it wasn't necessarily lighting up the league at that point at early in his career. So just some patience with Will and see what he can do here. Like I said, get him some confidence I'm sure if he gets that first point, it would be a huge weight off his shoulders and he can just start to play again.
You had a piece out just a little bit earlier today talking about Connor Bedard and eventually competing against Macklin Celebrini. Obviously it won't be tonight, but what did Mr. Bedard have to say?
Well, he was just impressed with Macklin's debut. Kind of just said he wasn't, you know, he didn't look out of place at all. He drove, you know, he was happy with, well, not surprised to see him sort of drive the puck and play with the puck a little bit, play at the speed he's sort of always played with, kind of thing. So he was impressed with Macklin Celebrini's debut. Talked about his first goal, you know, Macklin's first goal. You know, that spinorama play where he kind of ended up bouncing it off the Blues defenseman skate and past the goalie there. That was kind of a crazy play that Bedard kind of remembered and liked seeing. So he also said, you know, he looks forward to seeing playing against him hopefully soon here, you know, at the end of the month when Chicago comes to San Jose on Halloween. That could be a time where we see those guys compete against each other at the NHL level. So that'll be fun. And those teams also play each other in March too. So yeah, I think overall Bernard was really impressed with what he saw from Macklin and hopes to compete against him soon.
I mean, that's the thing, Curtis. We got one game of Macklin in which he completely lived up to the hype with a goal and an assist in his first period in the NHL. I mean, what was your reaction from that first game? And at that point, we didn't know an injury was really going to be dominating the narrative for the next couple of days and potentially weeks. But I mean, I admittedly got excited, and I'm usually, I know, shocker for someone in broadcasting and journalism to be cynical, but usually I'm kind of like, pump the brakes, let's see. But for me, it was hard not to notice, like, yeah, there was nothing surprising about that because it was the same player that I saw when he was at the rookie face-off and at the development camp and in training camp, where he just every time he was on the ice, he kind of had that feeling like he was about to do something.
100%. And, you know, that was the most impressive part. It wasn't just one or two shifts to start the game. This is a guy who looked the part, you know, throughout all three periods. And he was obviously on the number one power play unit, and it was on the top line with Tyler Toffoli and Willie Mecklen. And just looked ready for the moment. Didn't look intimidated by it. Didn't look overwhelmed by anything. Like you said, St. Louis is a good team. They're no patsy by any stretch of the imagination. They're a team that expects to compete for a playoff spot this year. So, yeah, I mean, it was really impressive to see what he did in that first game and kind of left you kind of wanting more. I think a lot of Sharks fans are just saying, oh, I'm just excited to see what's next. So it's a little, have to be patient right now to kind of see how long it'll take for him to recover here from his injury. I think the Sharks are willing to be patient with him. Just want to make sure he's 100% before he's ready to go here. But it was a really impressive debut. And, you know, I can go ranks right up there with some of the great debuts that we've seen in recent years, like guys like even Connor Bedard last year, or going back to Connor McDavid a few years ago. It was kind of remind you of like game-breaking type player who could make something happen at any moment. So fun to see. And we'll see what happens here over the next couple of weeks if he can get back in the lineup.
The injury front is also a talking point for guys other than Macklin Celebrini. William Eklund is a game time decision. What's the latest that you've heard on that?
Well, I think it's an upper body. It's something, I guess, that Ryan Wasowski was telling reporters today, and I guess yesterday as well, that, it's in a bit of a nagging situation for him. Maybe it's just a pain tolerance issue at this point. So we'll see. We'll see if the Sharks maybe just give him the night off to help him heal a little bit longer, maybe get ready for tomorrow's game in Winnipeg, or if they maybe give him, feel he's ready to go tonight. And if he does, as long as he's not able, he doesn't have, there's no risk of him hurting it further, I think that's the way they'll go and let him dress tonight. But, you know, we'll see. I guess he has to wait until he gets to the rink and how he feels and go from there. But yeah, another guy too. I mean, if you're already missing Macklin Celebrini, and you take Eklund out of the lineup. We talked about the offense a little bit earlier. That's going to be tough for the Sharks to overcome if you're missing two of your top forwards like that. So we'll see what happens if he's in the lineup tonight, or he has to maybe miss a game or two. We'll see.
I would just think that because Chicago is a relatively beatable opponent, and I'm sure the Sharks are eager to have a better start than they did last year and 2 years ago, both of which, you know, 5 games losing streak 2 years ago. Last year, they got a point in game two, but then double-digit losing streak to start the year. They probably feel like this is an opportunity where they can get 2 points.
Yeah, I would think so, although I think they're aware that Chicago is a much better team this year than they were last year. You look at the players that Chicago went out and got this offseason. You got some veterans in that lineup now, and the guys have won cups, and guys who've been around the league for a long time and know what to do. So, like you said, even though Chicago's not necessarily thought of as being a playoff team this year, they are a much better team this year, I think, than last year. And they went into Edmonton and spanked the Oilers there a couple of days ago, and, you know, had a, you know, 1-2, I think they're 1-2-1 right now. So not a pushover by any stretch, but, you know, I think the Sharks can, get a lead early, maybe play with a bit of a lead for a long time, maybe get another strong effort from Vitek Vanacek tonight that they'll put themselves in a position to get 2 points and give Ryan Wasowski his first win as an NHL head coach as well.
Well, you know, Curtis, I think that we all had Edmonton at the bottom of the Pacific and Colorado at the bottom of the Central after the first week of the season, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't help but look at Tankathon, that website that has teams with the best lottery odds, and say, yeah, well, it wouldn't be something if Colorado or Edmonton win the lottery or something like that. Yeah, it's been a wacky start to this season. Some teams that you thought would struggle are playing really well, and some teams that you thought would be terrific right off the hop here have struggled. So it just goes to show that a lot of parity in this league, and confidence and momentum might count for something as well.
Well said, Curtis. I will let you go, but I appreciate your time as always, and I'll see you soon. All right,
you got it, Ted. Thank you.
All right, that wraps it up for Morning Tide. We will see you at 4:30 this afternoon for live pregame coverage. 5 o'clock go time as the Sharks are in Winnipeg taking on the Jets. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.